7. Is it all right if I just stay down here with you guys at this point? The title this morning is No Need to Fear. Last week, the title was In the Middle of the Storm, and we were talking about the disciples in the boat and the storm, and Jesus was sleeping. And the Lord is not disturbed by your storm. He has a solution planned even before you know you have a problem. And everything is under His control, and so we talked about how we need to turn to Him with faith and not fear. And we also talked about how fear, if we follow fear instead of faith, fear leads to more troubles. Adam, after he sinned in the garden, he was afraid, and so he hid from God. Sarah was afraid, and so she lied. Moses was afraid, and so he ran. Saul was afraid of the people, and so he gave in to them. And then a little bit later, Saul was afraid of David, and so they remained enemies. And so bad things happen when you follow fear. It's been said that fear, the root meaning of fear, is to shake or to tremble. And so the whole thing of, you know, shaking in my boots, really pretty legitimate, because there is an element of that to fear. And Charles Lowry says, when you're afraid, you tend to not do well. The pressure is so great that it causes you to mess up. And he says, it's like the guy who was out of money. And so he decided to rob the bank because he couldn't think of any other way to get the money. Now, he didn't know anything about robbing banks, so he practiced what he would say over and over. He got a revolver and a sack for the money, and then he practiced sticking the sack over the counter and pointing the gun in someone's face saying, "Don't mess with me, this is a stick-up." And when it came time for the real thing, he was really nervous, but he was confident that he had it down pat. However, when he got in the bank, fear took over, and he handed the lady the revolver, pointed the sack at her, and said, "Don't stick with me, this is a mess up." For real, a mess up. Another one I think is cute. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son in bed, and she was about to turn the line off when he asked with a trembling voice, "Mommy, will you stay with me all night?" And smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence followed. At last, it was broken by a big, shaky voice saying, "The big sissy." Fear. And, you know, there's phobias you're familiar with. Claustrophobia is the fear of confined spaces. I have that to a degree. Agoraphobia is fear of crowded public places. Acrophobia is a fear of heights. I know some of you have that. And then did you know there's some unusual or kind of funny phobias? You might have heard of melissophobia. Melissophobia is the fear of bees. But those of you who know a Melissa might just think, no, it's just melissophobia. Then there's pantherophobia, fear of the mother-in-law. Yeah. Ephebiphobia, fear of teenagers. Is that what's going on over here? Because, you know, most of the teenagers are over there. All right. And then there's homilophobia, fear of sermons. Apparently none of you have that, at least not yet. Okay. But then there are some phobias that I think they're really real for some people. Glossophobia, fear of public speaking. I know that's very real for some people. Tropophobia, fear of changes. Yeah. Attikyphobia, fear of failure, and allodoxophobia, fear of opinions. And those last ones tend to be kind of subtle, and yet a lot of people wrestle with those. Fear of change, fear of failure, fear of opinions. And when we're consumed by fear, it takes away our enthusiasm for life. It keeps our thoughts unfocused because we just kind of can only think about the fear. It can even keep us from interacting with other people. Sometimes we can't get anything done because fear is the only thing we can think of, and it overwhelms us. Fear can even lead to ungodly behavior because we're looking for ways to cope with it, and those ways aren't always right. And fear can chip away at our relationship with God because we might begin to blame him for the fear. And as I said last week, fear is the opposite of faith. And the Bible frequently says, do not fear. So we're going to look at Psalm 27 this morning. And it's rather lengthy, so we'll just take it a little at a time. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. You know, darkness is associated with fear, but God is light. And when light shows up, darkness is gone. It's that simple. Okay? God, not someone else, not myself, but God is my deliverer. God will save me. He is my light. Verse 1 also says, the Lord is my stronghold. Let me ask you this. Just think about it for a minute. Does God have a stronghold on you? Hopefully he does. Or is something else creating a stronghold in you? You understand the contrast. A stronghold can be a safe place or a prison depending on what it is. Okay? God is our stronghold, and that's a safe place. But sin is another kind of stronghold, like a prison. But we want God to be our stronghold. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. God is our stronghold. He's there for us. It's been told that one of the Native American tribes had a unique practice for training their young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, he was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family and tribe, but on this night, he was blindfolded and taken miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of the thick woods by himself all night long. Every time a twig snapped, he probably visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. Every time an animal howled, he imagined a wolf leaping out of the darkness. Every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound it masked. No doubt it was a terrifying night for many of those young braves. After what seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest, and looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, the outline of the path, and then to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father, and he had been there all night long. God is with us all the time. We might feel like we're in the middle of a deep, dark forest and there's predators all around us, but God is right there with us. He is our stronghold. He's our protection. He is always there. Verse 2 talks about evil men and enemies advancing against us. Even if we have an army, it mentions in verse 3, and it's important to note here, it's not if, but when. Okay? We all get attacked from time to time. It's going to happen. It's part of life. But no matter how big the problem is, we can still be confident because God is our light, God is our salvation, and God is our stronghold. No matter what, even if an army comes against us, God is our safe place. So how can we keep up this confidence? I say by keeping your focus on God. Focus on God rather than your fear. That's the trick. Focus on God instead of your fear. In fact, I think verse 4 is kind of alluding to that when he says, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon your beauty. And so he's getting his focus in, and it's a one thing. And so I say our focus needs to be a singular focus, one thing. Peter walked on water when he was focused. He had just that one focus. He was walking, but when he started to look all around, then he sank. We need a singular focus. The impossible becomes possible when we have a singular focus on God. And then he says here in the psalm, this is what I seek. And so I'm going to introduce you to this word. We need a scrupulous focus. Scrupulous. You've probably heard of unscrupulous. But we need a scrupulous focus. This is diligent, thorough, extremely attentive focus. It's like hide and seek. You keep on looking until you find. You don't give up. You go after God wholeheartedly. And we need a desire for God's presence, not just an occasional encounter with God. He'd be fully attentive to him. And then he says, that I may dwell all the days of my life. That is a steadfast focus. It's not wavering, but it's a lifelong commitment to follow Christ. And so keep on keeping on. He doesn't say, hey, I just want to visit God once in a while. He says, I want to dwell all the days of my life. That's a commitment. And then he says, to gaze upon your beauty. Not just any focus, but I term it a sanguine focus. It's an optimistic and positive view of God. Do you really believe it when we say God is good? And all the time? Do you really believe that? He is. Focus on his goodness, his grace, his favor, because God is always good. And we need to keep that in focus. Sometimes we doubt that God is always good. Sometimes we even think perhaps God is evil and against us. But we need to remember that God is always good. Always. And then verse 8 adds to the thought where it says, I will seek your face. And I think that's a contrast to seeking his hand. We're seeking his face, and so we need a spiritual focus. Too often, I think we go to the Lord, and really all we're there for is our list of things we want from him. Okay? Now, to be sure, we are supposed to go to God with our needs. Yes, we are. But we need, more than anything, to just get with God. That's our greatest need. Get with God. Okay? Matthew 6:33 says, when we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, then he takes care of the rest. So let's go after God. Okay? I honestly think a lot of us get hung up right here. Because in Matthew chapter 6, where he's talking about that, he's talking about all the stuff that we tend to worry about. You know, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to go? All this. And we all are concerned about those things. In, you know, one level or another, that's on our minds. I have bills to pay. How about you? Okay? And yet, he says, put him first. And all those things will be added on. And sometimes we think, man, if I get everything else done and taken care of, then I can finally focus on God. The Bible says, no, it's exactly the opposite. Give God your first place. give him your full attention, and then he resolves all that other stuff. Can I get a witness from somebody who knows what I'm talking about? Okay. Some of you have figured it out, and you know that's the truth. Some of you haven't quite got there, and you need to get there. Put God first. Okay, in verse 5 it says, in the day of trouble, I'll be safe in his dwelling, I'll hide in his tabernacle. It doesn't say he keeps us out of trouble, but rather he is with us in trouble. He doesn't remove us from problems, but he promises to be with us. And so it's all about being in God's presence. There is safety and security in the presence of God. Security is not the absence of trouble, but confidence and courage in the midst of trouble that comes from faith. And you've all known people that panic at the slightest interruption to their life. And then there's others who are going through all kinds of problems, and yet they seem to be at ease. What's the difference? I believe it's they've got their connection with God that keeps them going through those hard times. And then verse 6 is interesting because he introduces this thought, I will shout, I will sing, I will make music. You know, David just talked about being safe in God's presence. He will keep me safe in his tabernacle. And now he kind of shifts gears, and I believe he's actually giving us hints on how to enter into the safety of God's presence. It's through singing and shouting and making music. That's it. According to Psalm 22, verse 3, God inhabits our praise. And Psalm 50, verse 23 says that thanks prepares the way for God. Church, when we sing and praise the Lord each Sunday, we are actually inviting God's presence and engaging in spiritual warfare. When we're singing, that's what's going on. Okay? I think sometimes we get a mindset that we're just singing some songs. No, there's actually spiritual activity going on while we're singing and praising God. It's for real. Jehoshaphat put the singers at the front, at the head of the army, and when they praised and gave thanks to God, God himself went to battle against the enemy. The singers were first. And then Psalms 8:2 says that praise, even from children, silences the enemy. I think we underestimate the power of praise and worship. We need you. No, no, okay. You. Okay? And I'm a you too, but I want to be a little more pointed. You need to participate in the music each Sunday. It can help you overcome the trials and the fears that you are facing, because there is spiritual warfare going on when you sing and praise the Lord. It's not just singing a song. It's entering God's presence. It's silencing the enemy. And many of us have the enemy shouting all kinds of junk into our heads, and we need him to shut up. Well, sing and praise the Lord, because that shuts him up. Okay? I might talk about that some more in the weeks to come. I'm not satisfied with just singing some songs and going through some motions. We need to really praise the Lord. Okay? Verses 7 through 12, it's all about our need for God. He hears our prayers. He shows mercy. He helps us in times of trouble. He is with us even when everyone else abandons us. He says, even when moms and dads give up on us, God doesn't. Let's put our trust in him. We need God. In verse 11, he says, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path. I want to know God's ways. How about you? Okay, Deuteronomy 32, verse 4 gives us a glimpse. It says that all his ways are justice, a God of truth, and without injustice. Hosea 14:9 says, the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them. So God's way is justice and righteousness. And when we walk in God's ways, there is no need to fear. Righteousness sets us up for God's protection. Let me say that again. Righteousness sets us up for God's protection. Let me give you a couple verses to back that up. Proverbs 11:6. The righteousness of the upright delivers them. Proverbs 13:6. Righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Righteousness, walking in God's ways, is a natural defense system against the enemy. Verse 12 talks about our foes and false witnesses rising up against us. Sometimes our fear is triggered by other people. That's just the facts of life. Sometimes it is. But we need to remember that Satan is the real enemy. It's really not people. Okay? I know it feels like people, and sometimes people are in the mix, but really behind it all is Satan. Ephesians 6, verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's the real enemy, and we need to always remember that. Okay? And back to the praise and worship thing. We can't always silence people that we perceive as our enemies. We can't always get them to shut up. Okay, but the scripture makes it plain when we praise and worship God, the real enemy shuts up. Okay? So remember who your real enemy is. And I think it's important that he says false witnesses here. Because what that means is integrity protects us. Because if they had something really to witness against you, then you asked for it. Okay? But they're a false witness. Your integrity protects you. Here, let me say this. The only power the enemy has over us is the power we allow him to have. By living an upright life following Christ, the enemy has no power over us. 1 John 4:4, the one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. When we're walking right with the Lord, there is no need to fear. The enemy has no power over you unless you open up a door to let him in. And then I like verse 13. He says, I am still confident and I will see the goodness of God. That goes back to our focus, the sanguine and spiritual focus. Even when troubles come, we can still trust God. Let's say it again. God is good. And all the time, okay? Now, I know we've said that so much that it just kind of flows. It's a trite little saying, but I want to keep on saying it so that it's cemented in our hearts and our minds. That this is really the truth. God is always good. No matter what your circumstances are, God has your best interests in mind. Always. And sometimes we look at circumstances in our life and we can't imagine how this could be good. But God has a plan to make it good. Okay? I've likened it before. You know, has anybody ever taken their infant child to get shots? Okay? What happens? Right? Okay, well, most of the time, an infant child is going to cry when they have to get their early shots. Do they have any understanding of why they're getting that shot? No, it just hurts. Why are you hurting me? But as a parent, you have a purpose for that. There's a reason that it's for their good. It's a temporary pain, but in the long haul, it's for their good. And God works that same way. Sometimes it feels like the shot, and we're thinking, what is going on? But God is working for our good. Always. then he ends here in verse 14. He says, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Be firm. Get a hold of God and hang in there. Don't give up. And take heart. That's have faith. Be encouraged. Think about what God can do. Think about what God has done and trust him. And then he says it again, wait for the Lord. That means to eagerly expect, to put your hope in God. He does what he says he will do. God keeps his promises. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And the scripture says those kind of things over and over again. But the important part I want to get here is the Lord goes before you. Okay? It's he goes before you, not vice versa. Okay? So here we are again, this theme that we just come back to every so often. Let God lead. And you just simply follow the Lord. What did Jesus call all of his disciples to do? Okay? He didn't say, hey, disciples, go leap over a giant building in a single bound. He said, follow me. Okay, how hard is that? In grade school, isn't that like one of the simplest games kids play is follow the leader? Not that complicated. Now, you know, if you've ever had a group of little kids, you know that they don't always follow like they should, and so things get out of control. But it's not complicated, is it? That's what Jesus says. Follow him. The Lord goes before you. He leads. We follow. When you do, there's no need to fear, because God is leading the way. So, just for a moment, I want you to pause and think, what fear are you wrestling with today? Don't need to say it, just there might be something on your mind. I want you to remember who is really in charge. Keep your focus on God. Praise him. Thank him. Because that's going to silence the enemy, and God will fight for you. God is with you even when you feel all alone. And we need to wait for the Lord to lead. You know, sometimes we want to get going. Hey, I've been here long enough. I'm ready to get going. We need to wait for the Lord. Let him lead. Then follow his ways and live an upright life. God is your light and your salvation and your stronghold. So keep your focus on God instead of that thing you fear, and follow the Lord. Then ultimately, fear not. God is with you. Simple as that. And sometimes we want it to be more than that. I understand that feeling. But if you really get a hold of this idea of how good God is and how powerful God is, and then you know that he is always with you, how reassuring is that? I am never alone. Ever. I never have anything to fear. Because God is with me, and God is for me. Do not fear. Trust the Lord. Follow him. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you. You are always with us. No matter what comes our way, no matter what we might be struggling with, no matter how we feel, you are there with us. And you're not afraid. You're not surprised. You're not taken off guard. And so help us, Lord, to recognize that you are right there with us. There's no need to fear. And help us to keep our focus on you instead of those things we fear. Lord, thank you that you carry us through. Thank you, Lord, that even as we begin to sing praises and express thanksgiving to you, that the enemy has to shut up. Thank you, Lord, for that. What a great weapon that is. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in the room today that's especially struggling with some sort of fear or anxiety, that you would really make your presence known to them, that they would be encouraged today and not be overwhelmed by their fear. Lord, we welcome you into this place and into our lives to lead us all the way, and we will follow you. Will you follow the Lord? Follow you. Give us grace to do exactly that, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God's blessings on you. Have a great week and go with God. No fear.